Hi, this is James Mercer from The Shins.
This is Shirley Manson.
This is Lo Tullist, co-founder of The Cure.
This is Huey Lewis giving you the story behind the song.
The Story Behind the Song is back with an exciting second season. We peel back the layers on music's most iconic hits with legendary artists like The Killers, Heart, The B-52s, Violent Femmes, Jewel, Huey Lewis, Modern English, and more. To keep the music flowing, we'll be sprinkling in classic episodes from our archives between each new one. So check out The Story Behind the Song wherever you get your podcast.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
Consequence Podcast Network.
And welcome to another edition of Kyle Meredith With. It's the interview series presented by WFPK at WFPK.org. Consequence and the Consequence Podcast Network. Thanks as always for making your way here, checking out the episode and the series. You know what to do. You like what you see, what you hear. Hit that subscribe button. I put out 3 new interviews every single week, so it's a great way to keep up with your favorite artist and discover some new ones as well. At all the usual spots like iTunes and Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Acast, Podchaser, NPR, YouTube for the video versions, anywhere you get your podcasts from, subscribe to Kyle Meredith With. And that's me, Kyle Meredith, today talking with screenwriter Michael Hurst and producer Donald DeLine about the new Epics series, Billy the Kid. It's based on, of course, the famous American outlaw. Hurst, who's also wrote Vikings and Tudors, we're going to talk about his love of historical fiction and why Westerns endure, as well as putting a spotlight on depression in a time when that wasn't thought of really as a diagnosis. We didn't have that language yet. We also hear about going deeper into the character of Billy the Kid, who is shown as someone with a big heart towards his mother, towards women, especially towards immigrants. Donald and Michael also going to outline hopes for the next 2 seasons of the show and where the story can possibly go from here. So let's do it. Talking about Billy the Kid on Epics. It's Kyle Meredith with Michael Hurst and Donald DeLine.
Hello, Kyle.
So let me say, first off, congratulations on a wonderful series with Billy the Kid.
Thank you.
Oh, great.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you.
Let's get into this, because it seems to be in your wheelhouse right away with historical fiction. What is it about that genre that draws you in? Because you do it so well.
It may be, to some extent, my sort of academic background that I, the process of research of basically any historical period is very interesting to me, and part of the fun, the creative fun, actually, is diving into the research material. And I kind of like rather boring historical books. They the dustier and drier, the better. But funnily enough, you know, I can pick up things from footnotes. The things that historians don't regard as particularly important often give me little glimmers, because they're usually little personality traits or personal traits, because out of the research come storylines and characters and events and things that I, as a writer, I can shape. But I start with the authentic material, and I like that. And William James, the philosopher, once said that for a baby, the world that he or she sees is a buzzing, booming chaos. And for me, the world, the contemporary world, is also a buzzing, booming chaos that I can't make a great deal of sense of, but I can make sense of periods of history. But in any case, I love I love connecting the past to the present.
Especially being able to take all of those details and make such a bigger story out of it.
Yeah.
Again, you know, what you do with Billy the Kid here, because we only have so much to go on, right?
Yeah, that's right. People think there's a lot written about Billy or this. There isn't. There isn't, though. And certainly not much that's authentic. Mm-hmm. You know? But I dug up a few books. I was helped in doing that. And out of the research comes a different version of Billy.
Yeah.
Which I think is more authentic, is more truthful.
So you want to be a rock and roll star? No? Well, how about a podcast star? Well, as it turns out, there's a new all-in-one platform just for you. It's called Anchor, and it's the easiest way to make a podcast. And check this out, it's free. There's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. And then Anchor will distribute the podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify and Apple Podcasts and, you know, everywhere else in podcast land. And what's even better, you can actually make money from your podcast. Go figure. No minimum listenership on that. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. So go ahead. Download the free Anchor app right now or go to anchor.fm to get started. So what are you waiting for? Podcast stardom is within your reach.
I'll get into that in a minute because I do want to hear about this version of Billy. But Donald, I'd actually love to hear your answer on this too, because, you know, not that it was right back to back, but I would love to know what drew you to this story, to this character, you know, especially seeing like just a few years ago, there you were in the future with Ready Player One, and now you are Whiplash in the past with Billy the Kid.
Right. Well, I mean, that's what I love about, you know, our business, and we get to tell stories and we get to go into different time periods and different worlds, and it's, you know, endlessly exciting and fascinating. So for me, you know, I had always also had a fascination with Billy, and it was a new territory to make a Western. So that was very exciting. And to get to work with Michael Hirst, one of the great, you know, creators in our business, was something that was a huge draw for me. I always want to learn something, which with each new project that I do, and I learned a great deal, both about the character of Billy the Kid and about, you know, how someone like Michael can actually handle this all himself. He makes everybody else look bad. So it was...
Righteous Gil loves me.
Yes, exactly. So, you know, it was all those elements combined, and it was a blast. We had a really great time making this project, you know, everybody from the crew to the actors to, you know, all of us and the folks at Epics, who were incredibly supportive and great to us. And it was just one of those things. It was a terrific experience. They don't always work that way.
Do you have a sense on why Westerns endure the way that they do? I mean, like, the earliest movies were Westerns only because they were present day for the most part, but here we are still telling these stories and we're still excited by them.
Well, I think that because they're mythic tales.
Yeah.
You know, they underscore the culture, and particularly the American culture. You know, like Star Wars is a Western, really. Mm-hmm. So, and myths, in fact, although we use the word differently, myths actually mean truths. So they tell that, like the Greek myths. So they tell they contain a lot of truth. And I like that about, I studied American literature and society at university, and it was the mythic nature of the American experience that always attracted me. And that's true actually of Westerns and gangsters, I think. So these are archetypal stories, archetypal characters, larger than life. You know, Billy is a modest Catholic boy, but actually he bestrides the world like a colossus, you know. And I'm really interested in those elements of the American experience.
I think all that exactly, and I think also that, you know, the classic conflicts, you know, of you know, good and evil, and, you know, dealing with these basic kind of conflicts that confront us in our lives against a landscape like that, when people are trying to figure out how to form a new world. So you can, you know, there are many choices to make, and those choices are going to define you. And a society is being built, which in our version of Billy, it's kind of what we call the pre-Western. It was before the West was really truly formed, and we're watching it form up. There's all these different cultural influences and, you know, power struggles that are going on. And it's just rich, rich material that never is always relevant. You know, it's always relevant.
It's also a story about immigration, obviously. Yes. That's how relevant it is, you know,
and the racism. Moment
we're involved in immigration and issues and yeah. Very much racism. So in the 19th century America.
Yeah, you guys were actually hitting on exactly what I was going to talk about next year, too, because you do. You pull that story with these unfortunate evergreen topics in that way. Racism is hit on quite yep. a bit here. Yep. The Spanish-American relations. My wife and I were watching this, you know, that first episode were really taken by how you tackled depression in an era where that wasn't so much a word at that point.
Oh, yeah.
No, yeah. And Americans were not really, American guys are not really allowed to be depressed. You know,
you don't talk about feelings.
No. I mean, I think it's funny to some extent that this will probably be for the audience the first time they've ever seen as a depressed, you know, someone in the West. And I love the scene where he goes to the doctor and the doctor says, basically, it's in your head, you know, because he just can't cope with the immensity of the landscape of you know, he's used to small town Ireland, to city life in New York, but going west in those days is like going to the moon, you know, and he couldn't do it. His wife was stronger. She could, you know, she had children, she had reason to fight and survive and try and keep the family together, but he just floated away. I did actually, there was one thing I'd put in that we didn't make the cut, which was in my version, the doctor said, there's nothing I can do physically. I can't give you any medicine, but I've got something that might help you. And he gives him a copy of Leaves of Grass, the Walt Whitman poem. And he said, this is about America. This is about the immensity of America. This is a man who understands that. And you might, if you read this, you might feel more comfortable, or you know, but we couldn't do it. It was sad. It's my literary background, you know. It's a little
you have to kill your darlings.
Yes.
Well, Leaves of Grass was exactly what I thought of when he was talking about the dad was giving Billy the speech about the stars at the end, because I wondered, I was like, is this taken, because it reminded me of Leaves of Grass, you know. Yeah. That was all
Michael
there.
You still got it in there.
Yeah.
Bless you. It worked. You got your way.
But in a subtle way, you see.
Yes, exactly.
Kyle's picked up, you know, exactly. The subtle hints there.
It's powerful moments that, you know, I like to work for it a little bit. I do like to work for it a little bit when I'm watching something. You know, the onion skin that you yeah. I want to ask you about this version of Billy too that you mentioned, because as you say, we are talking about a version of Billy. What we think we know versus what we're giving here. Yeah. Who was the Billy that you wanted to tell?
I had a totally open mind. I mean, you know, I said to Michael Wright that I wanted to tell the story of Billy the Kid, but I didn't really know very much about him except all the cliches. But I wanted to find out if he was worth hero worshiping, you know. So I started the research with an open mind and was kind of astonished again and again by what I discovered and the Billy that emerged from the reality, you know, that his sensitivity, his morality, his beautiful singing voice, the fact that people who knew him tended to love him, his identification with the Mexicans, the fact his mother taught him to read. It's astonishing, you know, in those days. And his love, therefore, as an immigrant, his identification with the Mexicans, you know, and all those things, each one surprised me and each one added another layer, really, to his character and my sense of who he was. And the fact that when he said himself that he was more sinned against than sinning, I could confirm that, you know, I thought, yeah. See. And Billy, also, I'm quite sure, and he said so much himself that, you know, he wanted to go straight. That was his dream. And he said he didn't want to be famous for killing people, you know. So I think very humbly that this is the the first really authentic version of Billy the Kid.
Yeah, and Tom plays him so well.
Yeah,
I mean,
brilliant.
His eyes, you know, through this entire series, it's
that's what we always say. It's like he does so much by doing so little. He can be still on screen and emote everything. You get it all behind his eyes. He's really extraordinary.
Yeah. He's got such presence on the screen, you know.
Yes, he does.
Absolutely. So the story, as we know it, as popular history will tell us, one version of it anyway, I should say what I'm getting to here, is that eventually Billy gets killed by Pat Garrett's. Now, as we see this as a season, and thinking maybe there would be hopefully more seasons, I would love to see more seasons of this. But do you think about at this point even the end game? Because the two versions of history of Billy the Kid that I know is one, he gets shot by Pat Garrett, or two, he escapes and becomes Brushy Bill Roberts later on in life.
Yeah, well, we're hoping certainly to go to three seasons of 24 episodes. The second season, obviously, the end of the first season takes us to the beginning of the Lincoln County War, which is a huge event or series of events that, I'm already writing the pilot for that. It's just, Billy did extraordinary things in that war. So that will take up most of season two, actually. There's so much event and drama. And then, I know he was reputed to have been shot by Pat Garrett. Yeah, I read that too.
We'll have to see where that goes then.
We have a great Pat Garrett as well. We love Pat
Garrett. Yeah, we love Pat.
Everybody too, and including James Evans in this.
Yeah, Daniel Weber.
He's just such an interesting historical figure on himself. I didn't know about him before this one, but I mean, to a certain degree, like, his legend is almost as important as Billy the Kid. Why did you all want to include him here as the friend protagonist type of thing?
Well, because it was true. Again, it just came out of the research that at a certain stage in his life, when he's still quite young, Billy met Jesse, and he's like he's an archetypal figure, because most of us guys, when we're younger, have met a slightly older guy who impresses us, probably the coolest guy, the one who takes more chances than we dare to, who slightly walks on the wild side. You know, we're kind of drawn like moths to a flame, you know, and Jesse's that character. But they bond, you know, and Billy's sort of looking up to him, but Jesse is forever trying to draw Billy into the dark side. And their lives are intertwined, and they were intertwined, you know, in the Lincoln County War, they're on different sides. But they keep coming together, coming apart. They each have a chance to kill each other, and they find it very difficult to do that. And one of the reasons, I think, is that Jesse is effectively Billy's doppelganger. So his double on the dark side. So they need each other in some way. And they recognize that. They kind of love each other, you know, which is very important. And I'm blessed because of two great actors playing these roles and, are able to personify and do what I wanted from them.
And compliments, by the way, on just the way it looks. Donald, I think it was you earlier who were talking about the pre-Wild West, the pre-West, because, you know, that's something I always liked looking at too. In this, it's bare, it's desolate, there's space, there's mud.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Everywhere.
Who knew there was mud in the West?
It was harsh and unwelcoming on many levels.
Yeah.
Sometimes beautiful and awe-inspiring, but also harsh and unwelcoming a lot of the time.
Yeah,
and that's what I was curious about. It's like, you know, when you all were putting this together, when you were talking about it, you know, arriving to figure out just the way it's got to look, the way it's got to feel. I mean, what was that conversation like? Because again, it's just, you nailed it.
Well, that sort of started as a conversation between me and Otto Bathurst, our first director, who's a very strong visual sense, and he was doing research too. And out of that research for both of us came this idea, you know, when they first went west, Billy and his family, to Coffeyville, they were promised a land of opportunity, of jobs and everything. Well, Coffeyville had only been established for 3 years. So it was a building site. There were no jobs, there were no opportunities. And the railroad hadn't even arrived. So Otto and I began to call it a pre-Western. Absolutely confirmed when Otto was shown around the sites in Calgary where the pre-existent Western towns, because every Western you've ever seen is shot in Calgary. And Otto said, thanks, guys, but I'm not going to use any of these because they didn't exist when Billy first came here. We've got to build our own settlements, and they're going to be very primitive, small, clinging onto the edge of nature, you know, with the vast and, you know, slightly hostile nature around them. And that's what we're going to show. And it was wonderful, this thought that we were going to tell a different Western for authentic reasons.
That's, again, one of the many reasons why I love what you all have done here. Congratulations on this, both of you, Billy the Kid. It's seriously, and I'm so looking forward to a second and third season to see how this story plays out.
Yeah, thanks, Kyle.
Thank you so much, Kyle.
My thanks to Michael Hurst and Donald DeLime, Billy the Kid. You can watch on Epics. Big thanks to you as well for checking out this episode. Before you get out, please do hit that subscribe button again so you can keep up with all the interviews that we put out every single week. New ones every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at all the usual streaming spots. That also includes YouTube for the video versions. Then after that, head over to WFPK.org. That's where I do a show Monday through Friday, 6 p.m. Eastern. It's an hour full of song premieres, music news, anniversary spins, bonus interviews. That's Monday through Friday, 6 p.m. Eastern at WFPK.org. Consequence, they've got your music and film news. You can also find me on the social media spots, mostly on Twitter, occasionally on Facebook and Instagram. All three of them at Kyle Meredith. I do hope you like and follow along. That does it for another edition. I'm Kyle Meredith. I'll see you next time.
Consequence Podcast Network.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
Hey there, it's Kyle Meredith from Kyle Meredith With. After you check out the latest episode of my show, be sure to check out some of our other great programs on the Consequence Podcast Network, including Standing BTS, a bi-weekly podcast covering all things BTS and ARMY, and The Opus, Consequence's original documentary podcast exploring legendary albums and their lasting legacies. So head to consequence.net to listen to these podcasts and many great others.
At Highland, we're all about celebrating little wins and little ways to innovate digital processes. There's no customer pain point too small for us to help with. Maybe that's why more than half of the Fortune 100 looks to Highland to connect their content and data, improve processes, and turn little efficiencies into big wins for their customers and clients. Highland, intelligent content solutions for innovators everywhere at highland.com.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.